Turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. Way back there. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Actually, let's back up just a little bit to chapter 1 about verse, I don't know. It's all good. Let's just read the whole Bible this morning. You guys weren't hungry for lunch, were you? No. Chapter 1, let's look at chapter 1, verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak, and you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. But which of the angels has he ever said, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, when you see therefore, wherefore, ask what is therefore. He's contrasting the difference between angels and Jesus. There is a difference between angels and Jesus, isn't there? He says, did he ever say to an angel, sit on my right hand? No, he never said that. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest they drift away. Now, drift away, slide away is that thought. Sometimes we may think of backsliding. You can call it whatever it is. It's where you used to really have a grasp and feel and see God working in your life, but somehow that has drifted away. And so we are told to give it a more earnestness in what we meditate on. Because Jesus is not like an angel. It's kind of not really ironic, it's just the Holy Spirit, that I was smiling during worship because so many of Nola Jean's songs had the name Jesus in it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And this morning we are looking at Jesus. We are listening to Jesus. We are hearing Jesus. We're told not to let this revelation slip away because he was not an angel. He was the Son of God. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord Jesus, by the Lord, and was confirmed by those who heard him? You see, this message did not begin with a preacher. It began with Jesus. He came and preached the kingdom. Amen. Jesus came and preached the kingdom. It was him. God didn't send an angel to do his work. He sent his only begotten son. I mean, if you got an important job to do, you don't outsource it. Amen. You don't say, well, I'm going to outsource this to a contract. You send the best. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning that God sent the best? He gave his best. He sent Jesus. And so he said then that this was first spoken of by the Lord and then confirmed by those who heard him, that this great salvation has come to us. God also then bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So when God sent his best, he sent Jesus. He didn't outsource this message. He sent Jesus into the world. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he confirmed the message through Jesus, through signs and wonders. Jesus opening blind eyes. Jesus opening deaf ears. Jesus healing the lame. Jesus raising the dead. And if that wasn't enough, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and James and John's hearing, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the writer of Hebrews says, So don't let this slip away, because this is a great thing. Amen. This is what the Old Testament prophets longed to see. This is what the Old Testament scribes wrote about. This is what the Old Testament prophets prophesied would come. And here we are living in the new age, in the new Jerusalem, in the New Testament era, where Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise God. So don't let it slip away. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly that you were chosen to live in New Testament days. You were told to live not under the covenant of the law, but of the covenant of grace through the covenant blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to God. And God confirmed this with signs and wonders by all those that heard Him, bearing witness with signs and wonders. Verse 5. For He has not put the world to come, out of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Angels are not going to rule the world when the end of the age comes. Angels are messengers. And then he goes on to say, but one testifies in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now we understand that when God made man in the garden, he gave him dominion over the earth, Adam. He said, be fruitful, multiply, let him name the animals and all these things. So we understand that God, but he is not talking necessarily about Adam or about the human race, is he? For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things under him. He's talking about Jesus, because Jesus came as a man, didn't he? He had to come as a man because the first man, Adam, who had dominion of the earth, forfeited it and gave it to the devil. But this second Adam, Jesus Christ, came and bought back through his own blood lost humanity. Isn't that good news? He bought it back, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by his precious blood. He bought it back. He did what the first Adam could not do. He lived a sinless, spotless life and then paid the ransom for you and me. He bought it back. Hallelujah. And so this man who was made lower than the angels, Jesus, he did not give the care of the world to the angels, but to him. For in that he put in him all things subjected under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. So that means this morning, if you have an addiction, it's under him. If you have fear, it's put under him. He said nothing. You know what nothing is? Nothing is nothing, right? Nothing is nothing. Your fear is under his jurisdiction. Your anxiety is under it. Your sickness is under it. Your marriage is under it. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen? And everything is subjected to him. He is the Lord of lords. Give him praise in the house this morning. Glory to God. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is to not put under him, but now we do not see all things put under him. In other words, well, if Jesus is over my health, then why am I sick? If Jesus is over my marriage, why is it bad? If Jesus is over my anxiety, why am I feeling anxiety, right? But hang on. It's all about perspective, isn't it? It's all about perspective. Because, you see, the devil would love for you to focus on what you don't have. He wants you to major in the minors. He wants you to be down here dwelling on this when God wants you to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you got it without faith, it wouldn't be anything you could get. Amen. Wouldn't even be necessary. But we get everything by faith because the Bible says everything is under Jesus. But we don't see it under him. So what do? But we see Jesus. You see, the difference between a victorious Christian and a defeated Christian is all perspective. You're either looking at your problem or you're looking at Jesus. You're either focusing on what you don't have or you're focusing on what he has. Because the Bible just said he's got it all. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Everything's under his feet. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what the doctors say. I see Jesus. How about you? But we see Jesus. Say that with me. But we see Jesus. So he said, everything's under his feet, but it doesn't look like everything's under his feet. But then he says, but we see Jesus. And so when the devil comes and whispers in your ear, yeah, well, that was a good sermon, but you're still in this situation. You say, yeah, but I see Jesus. Yeah, but, well, you know, but you still got that doctor's thing. Yeah, but I see Jesus. Well, but, you know, your marriage is still, but and he hadn't, she hadn't checked. Yeah, but I see Jesus. Woo, I feel like preaching. Yeah, but I see Jesus. I don't care what the world says, but I see Jesus. I still have my eyes on the prize. I still see Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter who gets elected. Come November, I see Jesus. I'm not looking for a Trump or a Clinton. I see Jesus. I don't care what the world says, but I see Jesus. Woo! That's what I need. I need to focus my attention just a little bit higher. I need to get off of CNN and get on. He's the man. He's the man. What would that be? HTM. CNN, HTM. He's the man. You're watching HTM Network. He's the man. I've got my eyes on the prize, but I see Jesus. I see Jesus this morning. You know, when they took Stephen out to stone him, he gave all those Pharisees a Bible lesson. Don't you love it when the student teaches the teachers? You know how you become a master of the Word? Reading it and the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a 4-year degree at some seminary. Stephen taught them a Bible lesson, and then as they begin to stone him, he looked up and he said, but I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Woo! Wouldn't you like to see what Stephen saw that day? Isn't it awesome that sometimes in the midst of the darkest hour, you know, how can you praise God when they're throwing rocks at you? Well, because you see Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. When you see Jesus, everything changes. Fears melt into the ground when you see Jesus. When you see Jesus, anxiety flees. When you see Jesus, sickness falls to the wayside. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Don't you worry. Well, I don't know if the Lord is pleased with me or not. He tasted death for everyone. He took your punishment. He took your whooping. He took your beating. He did it for you. It's paid. Paid in full. Paid in full. Stamped, sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paid in full. He tasted death for everyone. Everyone is me. You know, back in the old Pentecostal days, there was an old song we used to sing, whosoever surely meaneth me. Have you ever heard that before? Whosoever. I know Viola was here. And we used to sing, whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. It's me. Don't you let the devil tell you you're a second-class Christian. God doesn't have any stepchildren. We're all children of God, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And he tasted death for everyone. Everyone. You, me. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've slept with. He tasted the death for everyone. If you put your faith and trust in Him, He washes your sins as far from the east as from the west. You ask me why I'm happy, I simply say, my sins are gone. Amen. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. He tasted death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, verse 10, for whom all things. Notice this chapter is all about everyone, everything, all things. You know, this is just in case there's one person who's reading this chapter who's thinking, it's not for me, it's for everybody else, all things. For it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Who is Jesus? He's the captain of my salvation. And He was made perfect through His suffering. Well, are you saying Jesus wasn't perfect before? Oh no, he was without sin, but the icing on the cake, the culmination of all of His ministry, reached its climax when He let them beat Him bloody and nail Him to that cross. And then He said, it's finished. It's finished. Everything is finished. And the Bible says, this captain of our salvation. I like that term. This captain of our salvation. You know, he's the captain because we're all lieutenants, right? And what do lieutenants do? They march behind the captain. And this captain of our salvation, it says that he was fitting for Him for whom were all things by Him and through all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Hallelujah. This captain of my salvation is marching on, and there's many sons and daughters that are following behind Him all the way to glory. Aren't you glad? Give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Captain of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He was made perfect through His suffering. For both He who sanctified, for both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. That means He who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and He who is sanctified, that's me and you, are one. We are one with Jesus Christ. We are grafted in the vine, adopted in the family. Jesus lives in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You heard the story about the little boy who was about to have heart surgery, and the doctor said, do you have any questions? He said, no, but I have one thing I want to ask you to do. And he says, what's that? He goes, when you're in there operating on me, say hi to Jesus because He lives in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is still living in the hearts and minds of men and women. He's the captain of our salvation, and He who sanctifies is one with those that are sanctified. We are one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brother. When we get to heaven, Jesus has no stepchildren. I said that before. He has no stepchildren. Don't you think of yourself as a stepchild. Don't you think of yourself lower than the preacher up on the stage. We're all brothers and sisters of Christ. And when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, hey, come here. I want you to meet Dad. Dad, this is my brother. Dad, this is my sister. We are brothers and sisters, one with Christ, the captain of our salvation, bought and paid for us. We see Jesus. We see Jesus this morning. He is the answer. He is the hope. He is the victory in every area of our life. We see Jesus. And He's not ashamed to call us His brothers. Hallelujah. I just got to camp on that for a minute there. That's something to think about. The King of the universe is my brother. The God who spoke the universe and holding planets in His hand, that's my brother. That's my brother. Are you telling me that's my brother? That's exactly what I'm telling you. So when the devil comes to you and says, don't mess with me, don't make me call my big brother. Don't make me call my big brother. You see, the only way the devil can get you is when your eyes are on the problem, but we see Jesus. Don't make me call my big brother. We see Jesus. Our eyes are on the prize. We see Jesus. We're still looking at Jesus. The world is on the politics, but we see Jesus. The world is on the football game, but we see Jesus. The world is caught up in what's happening in Hollywood, but we see Jesus. They're looking at People magazine, but we're looking here because we see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the captain of my salvation, and he's my brother, and he lives in my heart. We are one. Good news. Good news. For both we are sanctified and are being sanctified are one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call us his brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly I will sing praises to you. Glory to God. I'm going to declare his name. I'll tell it to the hallowed halls of Congress. Your problem is not who's in the White House. The problem is, why aren't you on your knees? Because there is a change of government coming. And it's not it's not Hillary Clinton. And it's not Donald Trump. There is a change of government coming. There is a king coming to subdue the nations of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's not president. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And while the world is looking to a politician to save him, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. And again, I will put my trust in him. I will put my trust in him. Well, what are you going to do if Hillary Clinton gets president? I'm not going to do anything. I put my trust in him. I gave up trust in politicians a long time ago. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Don't you love that? You see, one day, very soon, very, very soon, we're going to hear Jesus say that. Here am I, world, and the children God has given me. Aren't you glad you're in the family of God this morning? Aren't you glad that you're redeemed? Aren't you glad, while the world doesn't know what tomorrow brings, we know who brings tomorrow. We know what's going to happen. The world isn't going to blow up. Jesus is coming. He's going to part that eastern sky. The Bible says he has eyes like a flame of fire, and out of his mouth sharp sword, and on his head many crowns, and he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. But we don't see him in the natural, yet we see him. Amen. Because our eyes are upon him. He is the prize. He is the hope of our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our brother. We are one with him. We see Jesus, and he's going to present us. He says, here I am, and the children whom God gave me. Glory to God. Verse 14, insomuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Aren't you glad the devil is defeated this morning? When Jesus died on that cross, he defeated him and rendered him powerless. Powerless. Think about it. You know, when we went to Colorado in July, while we were gone, that big tornado blew through, blew down trees, tore up buildings. After we left Colorado, they had a big hailstorm that went through there and destroyed things. And I made the statement, I'm always one step ahead of the devil. And I think I ticked him off. And so, you know, he's doing his best to stop me, but I got news for him. Jesus Christ defeated him 2,000 years ago on that cross, and the only way he can stop me is if God is done with me, and not until then. Amen? Hallelujah. I will leave this planet on God's terms and not on his terms, because I see Jesus. Glory to God. Aren't you glad he defeated the devil? He's a defeated foe. And he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjected to the bondage. And I remember when I got saved, that was a long time ago, 1979. Before that, I was 19 years old. I used to fear death. I didn't think about it all the time, but if I thought about it, it was scary because I didn't know what was going to happen. And then when I got saved, like, wow, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I want to see Jesus. I can't wait till God is through with me, where I get to see Jesus. And so, you know, fear is one of those things that the devil puts on people that don't know the Lord. And I'm not saying that we don't all sometimes have fear, but when we do, then we have to repent, because that's not what God has called us to do. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so, while the world is looking at their problems, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Now, aid. Think about what aid is. You hear about that a lot in the news. The UN is shipping aid to Syria. Aid. You know, they need food. They have no food. They have no water. We're going to give them aid. We talk about even something as simple as a Band-Aid, something that holds our sliced finger together because we were dumb and cut it somehow, right? And so we need aid, right? But the Bible says God doesn't give aid to angels. Angels don't need aid. They're in this glorified state. They don't need aid, but we're down here in a fallen world. We need aid. We need help when we're lonely, when we're fearful, when we're anxious. We need help when we're sick or when we're having marital problems. We need aid, but God gives aid. When we look to Jesus, God is the answer. God has it all under control. While the world is looking at the problem, we see Jesus. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like his brothers that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. In other words, Jesus knows how you feel because he's felt what you're going through. He lived in the same flesh and blood body. He had the same fears, the same loneliness, the same hurt. He shed the same tears. He felt the same broken heart so that he could empathize with what you're going through. He is a faithful high priest, and he loves you so much. It says that he went through this to be a faithful high priest pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people, to make intercession, to go be the go-between, to be the intercessor, to say to the Father, Father, don't judge them too harshly. I know what it feels like to be alone. Don't judge them too harshly. I know what it feels like to be tempted. Father, don't judge them too harshly. I know what it feels like to have your back cut open with a cat of nine tails. He suffered in every way that you and I did, and he knows what you're going through. He knows what it feels like to be rejected. The Bible says he was rejected of men. You know, one of the things that hurts me the most is reaching out and being rejected, wanting to help someone, and they don't want your help. Reaching out to family members, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus cares. And so we move our eyes from the rejection, from the fear, from the pain, and we see Jesus. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. Come on up, Nola. Let me read that last verse one more time. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able. Say that with me. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we? Oh, hallelujah. Do you love Jesus this morning? I mean, how can you not love someone who paid such a great price, who loves you so much, who who knows how you feel, who's been where you're at. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. Let's all close our eyes and let's just fasten our eyes on Him this morning. Just tell Him in your own words how much you need Him and how much you love Him. We see Jesus. Lord, we need you this morning. The old devil often tries to take our eyes off you. He tries to put our eyes on problems with our marriage or with our health or with our finances or with tomorrow. And Lord, we've all been guilty of letting him do that. But he's a defeated foe. You defeated him, rendered him powerless 2,000 years ago on that cross. And you are the captain of our salvation. And we are your lieutenants. And we are one. And you will proudly introduce us to the Father very soon. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you. That when the waves of life come in our face, we would not be guilty like Peter of taking our eyes off you, but we would see Jesus in every circumstance. We would see Jesus around every corner. We would see Jesus in the morning, at the noontime, when the sun goes down. As we lay our head on our pillow at night, we see Jesus. God, I pray that you would help those who are struggling this morning to put Jesus in place of their problem, to get their eyes off the problem and on Jesus, the captain of our salvation, the victor, our hero. Our hero. He's our hero. And help us, Lord, to see you around every turn. In Jesus' name. Nola, let's sing that Jesus, Jesus song again, can we? Hallelujah. As we close, let's just worship the Lord with that matchless name of Jesus one more time.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master,
praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.